Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this Christmas Eve, our message is entitled, A Refugee Christmas. Tonight's message is a story sermon. So unlike our tradition here, there will be no sermon outline to follow. Listen as I share this story with you, but make no mistake about it. In, with, and under this story is a sermon, a message from God for your heart this Christmas Eve. Again, our title is A Refugee Christmas. Let me read to you just a little of Luke's gospel one more time. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Sam Havens was pretty well worn out. As a 60-year-old pastor, his energy just wasn't what it used to be. He worked very hard over the years, bringing what he thought were necessary needs and changes to St. Paul's Church. But so many of the people at St. Paul's just didn't want to change the way they'd been doing things for years. Others wanted change, but they were outnumbered by the people who just wanted the status quo. In fact, more than a few people didn't want to hear one new idea from Pastor Havens at the end of this year. At the year-end congregational meeting, a weary Pastor Havens announced he had no new ideas for St. Paul's for the coming year. And at that, many of the people applauded. St. Paul's would remain a fortress against a changing world. As the days moved into December, Pastor Havens wasn't sure what to do about the situation, so he did nothing. He continued to write his sermons, prepare his Bible classes, call on the sick and the shut-in, visit with newcomers, and attend a few meetings. But on the 17th of December, the office phone rang at the church, and the voice at the other end said this: "Hello, this is Marie from Immigration and Refugee Services. I want to confirm the arrival of your Iranian family on the 19th. They will arrive at the airport Monday at 11:22 a.m. There is one man, his young wife, and she is very close to having their first child." Silence greeted the woman on the other end of the phone. Pastor Havens didn't know what to say, and then he finally mumbled, "Are you sure you got the right church? Isn't this St. Paul's Church?" "Yes, it is." She continued, "Sir, I have several pieces of correspondence on my desk with a Mrs. Long, the chairman of your social outreach committee. One dated as late as November the 3rd. Now, why he didn't tell the woman it was all a mistake and she'd have to find somewhere else to house the family, he didn't know, but he didn't tell her. For 5 minutes after he hung up, Pastor Haven sat in shock. And then he made two phone calls, confirming a hunch. The arrival of this family of Iranian refugees was not a total surprise to everyone. Anybody who followed the news knew that many people in Iran were suffering terribly from a horrible military regime. A few of the younger families in the church had been consulted by the committee chairman. But everyone had assumed that she had canceled the order when she resigned her position and quit attending St. Paul's. But one Sunday evening, a church meeting was called to decide what to do. The church hall was packed. At first, the group was split among predictable lines. Some folks said, if change weren't so hard to come by at St. Paul's Church, Mrs. Long would have stayed and they wouldn't be in this mess. Others said this was typical of her and others of the younger generation, going off half-cocked and making plans without going through all the proper channels. No one seemed thrilled by the prospect of receiving and housing a strange group of refugee people from Iran just a few days before Christmas, especially one in which a new baby was just about to be born. The meeting was approaching its second hour before someone asked Pastor Havens what he thought. Until that moment, he had remained silent. In the recent past, he had just been too worn out to take a lead in any controversy. But this night was different, and he spoke up. "There's a lot about this situation I don't understand, he said. "But what I do know is this. Tomorrow morning, three human beings, one not yet born through no fault of their own, will be arriving at our airport without food, without clothing, without friends, without a place to live. Now, winters around here will be quite a shock for people who come from a dry, hot, desert climate." He paused for a moment before continuing. "I intend to be at that airport tomorrow morning. I intend to be their friend. Do any of you plan to help?" After quite a while of complete silence, the room nearly exploded with excitement. No longer did the people begin their sentences with, "If this family arrives," they began to say, "When this family arrives." And in the next 90 minutes, committees were formed to find food and to find clothing. And a woman about 70, one of the pastor's most vocal critics in the congregation, offered her house to the family until a permanent residence could be found. Later that evening, Pastor Havens fell exhausted into his bed, pleased at what had happened, but still apprehensive about what was yet to come. The next morning, the welcoming committee were halfway to the airport before it dawned on them as they were driving to the airport, they wouldn't be able to understand a single thing this refugee family said. No one spoke their language. But as it turned out, they didn't have to worry. When this man and his very pregnant wife stepped off the airplane, they communicated in the universal language of gestures, of smiles, of handshakes, of hugs. And the next 5 days were terribly hectic. The phone in the church office rang off the hook. People offering food and clothing and transportation. And on Tuesday, an apartment was located that needed fixing. And several volunteers with skills quickly stepped forward to get the apartment shaped. On Wednesday, a pickup truck pulled into the church parking lot, filled with used furniture, used but still in good shape. And one of the young women of the congregation who was going to the nearby university brought an international student with her from Iran. At last, people wouldn't have to pantomime for communication. In all the activity, Pastor Havens paused and noticed a strange but a very wonderful thing. Side by side on the work crews, people labored together who had for long times in that congregation been on opposite sides of the fence on issues. Very late the next night, the night before Christmas, Pastor Havens fell into bed, exhausted, but happy. Then suddenly he realized he hadn't even prepared the next morning's Christmas sermon. Any other time, that would have been a cause for panic. But tonight, he was just too tired. He fell asleep asking God to give him the words for the next morning's service. The next morning, the congregation was buzzing. People who ordinarily sat quietly were in the aisles and in the pews talking with excitement. No one even noticed when the organist began her prelude. And then the entire church grew silent. Not because the service had begun, but because of two brown-skinned, foreign-looking people, one wearing a brand new suit and one wearing brand new maternity clothes, led by a smiling 70-year-old lady, a member of the congregation, walked up the center aisle and sat in the front pew right under the pulpit. When the service began, the building nearly shook with the singing. No one could remember such a display of enthusiasm at worship. And Pastor Havens was beaming right up into the time of the sermon hymn. The sermon, yet unprepared, was next. And as he walked into the pulpit, Pastor Havens was amazed how calm he was. As he read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, his voice had a ring in it that normally wasn't there. And when he finished reading, he paused before he began to speak. And then he looked out at all the people. "Dear friends," he said, "a great deal has happened in this church in the last few days. It is very much like the first Christmas when a room was found on the floor for the Lord on the night of his birth, the night when he and his family had no place to lay their head and they were refugees. Many of the things that have happened here tonight have helped me hear this Christmas story tonight as if it were brand new. Do you feel that way too?" And heads were nodding in the congregation. He continued, "We must not think that this Christmas time is more meaningful because suddenly we have become a generous people. That's like saying if we just tried a little harder, this world would be a better place in which to live. That is, of course, what many people think the Christmas message is all about. Try a little harder. Love a little more. But that's not what the Christmas message is about. The Christmas message is about reconciliation. At Christmas, God has broken into our sin-filled lives. He has broken into our sin-filled world. He has come to break down the barriers that separate us from Him and from one another. Left to our own selfish, sinful ways, we would remain a divided and separated people. Left to our own so-called goodness, we would be lost. But God has broken into our lives, just as He broke into the lives of people over 2,000 years ago. Through a young father and a young mother and their new baby, He has brought the gift of reconciliation to all mankind. In that Bethlehem manger, that young mother did not just lay a little baby. She laid into that manger the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who would grow to be the one who would one day lay down His life for the sins of the world. Through His death on a cross, and His rising from the grave, He would give to all who put their faith in Him the gift of reconciliation. Pastor Havens asked his congregation a question I often ask this congregation. Are you listening? Pastor Havens continued with a phone call, with a simple phone call, and with the arrival of this refugee family, gesturing to the guests in the front row. God has interrupted our plans. He has interrupted our divisions, and He has brought us together. He has reconciled us. This is what Christmas is all about. This is what the coming of Jesus is all about. He has forgiven our sins. He has made us a family. He has given us a new vision of what it means to be His people, to be His church, and it is His doing. Pastor Havens took a deep breath, wiped his mouth, and he fought the impulse to continue his sermon. He smiled as he thought of those certain people in the congregation who mentioned to him Sunday after Sunday the length of his sermon and that he should begin timing it so it wouldn't go so long. Tonight's sermon was a short one, but it was a sweet one. Instead of saying more, Pastor Havens looked out at his people for an extended moment of silence. And his expression said it very clearly. He loved them. And then he concluded his short message, God bless you all. Blessed Christmas to all of us. And following the benediction, he went to the narthex to greet the worshipers as they exited. And when the long line had finally passed, he returned back to the pulpit to pick up his Bible. And there with the newcomers was their 70-year-old hostess. She quietly took Pastor Havens aside and whispered something in his ear he thought she would never say to him. She whispered in his ear, thank you for being my pastor. And the interpreter stood with the two, soon to be three new members of the St. Paul Church family. The interpreter said, Pastor, the family has been practicing a greeting, and they have been practicing it in English. With this, the young couple stepped forward. They bowed to the pastor and spoke in unison, Merry Christmas. God bless you. Thank you for giving us a home. Though he could not remember the last time he cried in the presence of another person, tears were now streaming down Pastor Haven's cheeks. After he dried his eyes and cleared his throat, he said, Please tell these dear people that we are now even. We have given them a home, and they have given us a Christmas. God bless your Christmas 2014. In the name of Jesus, amen.